Back with another episode of Buns and Tubs. We're up here doing that good work for you that we come back with you every single week.
Yes. Super ready.
Yeah. We got a few things to talk to you about today. You know, QAnon update.
Yeah.
Catholic Church update.
That QAnon's going live.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit about CIA operative Timothy Leary today. Hope you didn't know it already.
Yeah.
Give you a little input on Dr. Timothy Leary.
Doctor.
Yeah. So, you know, sit back, get a delicious beverage going.
You know how sometimes before sex, you have to, like, do the preamble, get yourself worked up, get her worked up.
Yeah.
And then make the magic.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do here today. We're going to get warmed up on some other random bullshit.
Sounds good.
We're going to get you guys lubed up. We're going to get lubed up, and we're going to come together.
To UCA operative Dr. Timothy Leary's own words, tune in, turn on. Drop out.
Yeah.
And enjoy.
Hashtag counterculture. I have notes here, very sparingly put together, but I wanted to, you know, was it last week we talked about the crazy dream I had?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, I had another one.
Did you?
Just as symbolic and fucking...
Oh my God, I'm so ready to interpret. Let me get my crystal ball out.
You did me good last time. I can only imagine this time will be the same.
Yeah. I got my paper clips ready. Let's go.
I'm taking a break from these nootropics, man. Because this shit is just getting heavy.
Out of control.
So this time, similar story.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha Brain, not a sponsor. I did a double dose, 2 in the morning for the daytime activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night I was like, fuck it. I did 2 more. I put in a nicotine lozenge, pulled my skull cap down over my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, the millennial version of a sleeping mask.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I'm floating. I don't know why I have to be the observer in these things. I guess it's better to be an observer than be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But so this time, you know, last time we talked about it was a house and pre-dawn and all this.
Yeah.
This was not dawn. I'm not sure what time it was. I just know it wasn't dark. Fully dark, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another guy... I'm not sure what the recurring theme is with these fucking tradesmen.
Yeah.
Right? But last time it was a potter. This time it was a stonemason.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, the stonemason was building a house, a glass house.
Huh.
But it was shaped like a jaw, like a glass jaw. I don't understand it.
I see.
Yeah.
It seems like a strange material for a stonemason to be using glass.
Because glass isn't made of stone.
No. Well...
Well, yeah.
There's going to be a geologist out there like, actually.
Your guys are stupid. But, so he's building this house. I guess you could say building, or maybe he's maintaining this house. He's outside, and I can see everything inside, because it's glass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just debaucheries.
Yeah.
It's him inside the house. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's like a television.
Yeah.
Because he's outside, but he's also inside.
Yeah.
And he's... I just see him doing all these debaucherous things with various marital indiscretions.
Hmm.
Disrespectful.
No, I see.
Right. And it's interesting that he had a glass house or a glass jaw.
Glass jaw house.
Because you hear that all the time, people.
Yeah.
You know, don't talk crazy if you've got a glass jaw.
Yeah.
Well, he ended up getting hit by his house did.
Yeah.
Rather. By this giant white fist.
Hmm.
It was like, and I knew that it was like the white fist of justice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it looked like it was a long time coming.
Yeah.
And it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he does, even though you can see he's enjoying himself during all these debaucherous acts, is he calls the police.
Oh my gosh.
It's almost like you would expect that if you were involved in some shit like that, like you knew,
yeah,
I'm a debaucherous piece of shit, but I'm also a stonemason.
Yeah.
Applying my trade on my own glass jaw house. That eventually you're going to have to pay the piper on that one.
Yeah.
So you might just take the L.
Yeah.
Right?
Instead of get the authorities involved.
Crawling around like a little bitch.
Well.
Trying to call the police and stuff.
Then, I don't know what to take, how to interpret this one.
My feels, though. You know how sometimes you have a feeling?
Yeah.
In the dream? I felt good about the glass jaw being hit, the house.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I knew it needed to happen.
Yeah.
And then, that's all.
Could you equate it to, say, like, getting pleasure from knowing that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Like,
yeah, similar.
He just fucking wrecked it.
Right.
You know?
He just looked in that situation in the glass house and saw no one in there that deserved saving.
Yeah.
So he dropped the very powerful, strong white fist and busted that jaw, that house.
Blasted
house
it.
Jaw. I don't okay. know.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the lesson of this dream is that, you know, if you would can't settle your affairs and can't reap what you sow and you have to call someone else to handle what you've sown,
yes,
then you're obviously not a man at all.
Right. And, call the order followers to handle your business.
Probably a bitch.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about the wake up. I had the fake wake ups, mm-hmm. right, where you're like, ah, you come out of it, but really you're still asleep.
Yeah.
I woke up and it was like, oh man, I felt rested. Like it was a really good dream. But then I was hit with all this stress, like this heavy, like, ah, you know, it's like chaos. And I found like I've fallen asleep at work mm-hmm. in the factory of sadness. I was on like an assembly line.
Okay.
As I turn around to see if anyone sees me, my angry, like, supervisor is stressfully telling me like that I have to let him fuck my wife if I want premium overtime. And then I woke up for real.
Fuck.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't even know, man.
Like I said, I'm taking a break from these nootropics.
You need to take a break from that fucking alpha brain.
Shit's too heavy.
Yeah.
I need a sober sleep.
Crazy dreams.
I mean,
crazy
I guess dreams. I guess it's still sober sleep. They're just vitamins, but still, it's regular ass like your dad's sleep.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
No sleep at all.
Yeah.
Or, you know, dad's sleep is no sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally. But
how should we start with the QAnon updates? What would you think?
I think, well, we need to address the elephant in the room, and that's the fact that
there's two that I can think of.
Senator John McCain,
there you go,
shedding the mortal coil.
Yeah,
and I say it that way because I can't say one way or the other whether he succumbed to the supposed cancer that had inflicted him,
right?
Or there is the theory that he, like Khrushchev hands the man the gun in Enemy at the Gates, says, if you want to avoid the red tape and not anger the boss, you might want to just take care of this yourself. And he slides a gun across the table.
Yeah.
And
blows his fucking brains out.
Yeah. It seemed weird that, like, the when they announced that he had died, like, literally the day before, they had announced that he was no longer seeking treatment.
Yeah.
And then just...
Yeah, now I've known at least a few people that have died from cancer, and they have, like, you know, either still taking the drugs, and I believe the drugs killed them.
Would you say it was cancer in quotation marks?
Well, I'm not going to say he didn't have brain cancer. He might have.
Yeah.
But the QAnon post, I don't remember the number, but you can find it on QAnon.app, and it's, like, cryptically saying, basically, that, like, they've been referencing this weekend of suicide or suicide weekend, which is like an option where they're rolling the gun across the table to any of these random people.
Yeah.
Either face judgment or kill yourself.
Yeah.
And they allude to either McCain going to Gitmo or Plan C, shooting himself in the mouth.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
Now, do you think that...
none of those people I know that died 24 hours after they stopped taking their treatment.
Do you think that... his cancer could have been caused by the large sums of adrenochrome that he had been ingesting for all those years.
Very possible. Man.
I mean, it could be a side effect you don't know about.
Yeah.
I assume that consuming the hormonal fluids of children would...
tortured children.
Yeah, would possibly do that to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
We just started talking about adrenochrome not too long ago. If you guys haven't seen it, you should Google it, but... we're working on it, you know, kind of tumbling it around in our brains for a future episode. But that shit's fucking crazy. Hmm. What was it? What was the movie you told me that they referenced it in that I remembered?
It's crazy that we started looking at this adrenochrome, and then the other day, Tobin's had never seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And I was like, excellent movie. I love that movie because I also love Hunter S. Thompson because, I mean, I think even though he kind of gets lumped into the counterculture, which, funny, we're talking about somebody else that was like the leader of the counterculture.
I think he was more
outside of what that counterculture was, even of that. Like, he was, because, I mean, the dude was a fucking nut. We could do a whole episode about Hunter S. Thompson because dude's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a part in the movie and in the book where his attorney comes to him and gives him a bottle of what he calls adrenochrome, which in the movie he falsely says that it's from the adrenaline gland of a person.
Yeah.
Adrenochrome, as we all know, comes from the pineal gland of the brain. And he says that a client of his gave it to him as payment because he didn't have actual cash. And he said it would get him higher than anything he's ever had. And that the client in question was a Satanist who was in trouble with the law for molesting children.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it seems a bit serendipitous that we talk about this stuff a lot and how there's connections between the deep state, the cabal, Satanism, and child torture, and how like they harvest things from children. And then I watched this movie and see it, and I was like, and anybody out there could be like, well, this is just fiction. Well, no, all this was written by him based on real facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things that he did.
Yeah.
It just seems a bit, in like I've said before, as the Kabbalion says, there is no such thing as coincidence, only law unrecognized.
So saith the Kabbalion.
So saith us all. Some of us.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
The ones of us that are able to digest it anyway.
But I think that's the whole adrenochrome thing and all that might be another episode.
Oh, for sure.
Because after I texted you last night and said, I think Jim Carrey's going to end up killing himself. Because he came out on a interview and was like...
Was that recently?
I think so. He was like doing a tour for some new show or something. And he's like, they were talking about, well, what are you going to do around the holidays? And he's like, I hate the holidays. I dread it. He's like, basically like, he's like, and he started talking about like, I don't know if he's just, I would hope, part of me hopes that it would be metaphorical, but he talks about the fact that like...
He's been known for doing shit like that in interviews.
There's people in Hollywood who like literally like eat children around the hot, like around Christmas time and stuff.
Yeah.
And torture them. And he's like, I've never been big in that.
Right. It's heavy.
Damn it.
So, let's see, we can roll. Well, the other interesting thing about QAnon here recently, obviously everyone's seen or heard about the Catholic Church catching on fire,
yeah,
metaphorically, and that was alluded to in some of the QAnon posts as of late. I'm not sure if we mentioned it or not, but they seem to have found, if any of you have ever looked up the John Podesta paintings that we talked about, they have pictures in Rome, which I have to assume are involved with the Catholic Church because they're, you know, the Vatican and everything. They fucking found the pool that these pictures were painted in of these children, like, hanging in stress positions and stuff. They tied it to the Catholic Church from Podesta's pedophile art, but that was neat. And then, what was it, the former ambassador to the Vatican?
Yeah, I was actually looking up his name right now. Okay.
He had come out and said, basically, that the current pope had been involved directly with sheltering or covering up... various high-level Catholics in their sex crimes against children, and called on him to resign. And of course, the Pope is at radio silence at this time.
Okay, found it. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano made the claims in a lengthy statement that concludes with a call for Francis's resignation. He said, "In this extremely dramatic moment for the Universal Church, he must acknowledge his mistakes, and in keeping with the proclaimed principle of zero tolerance, Pope Francis must be the first to set a good example to cardinals and bishops who covered up McCarrick's abuses and resign along with all of them," he writes.
And as we said,
basically saying that
the Pope is at radio silence.
Yeah, the Pope knew about this shit. He knew about it.
Yeah.
And then covered it up. Even though there's a supposed zero tolerance policy on it. It
sounds like some places I've heard of where they say like tobacco's zero tolerance, and then you, like everybody's chewing tobacco.
Exactly.
Know? It's weird.
But here's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see this dude resign. But the problem is that like he's not the only one that's culpable. There's hundreds of these dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, here's the thing. Has he taken it the right way and taken the right steps in trying to fix this? Absolutely not.
No.
He just ignores it. Like you said, he's on radio silence right now.
Yeah.
He's got motherfuckers showing up in, he was in Ireland and they had signs like, saying like, why do you keep covering this stuff up and stuff like that? And it just boggles my mind. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then I guess as far as the newest QAnon goes, I think 1942 we're up to as of now. While we record the podcast, they said, keep an eye on Iran, and then named one of their officials and said, like, the power belongs to the people. Fight for your country.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
So there are some definite updates coming, I'm sure, with Iran. But earlier in the week, as they posted about John McCain's suicide or whatever that was, they said, in all caps, big week ahead. So... buckle up, Buttercup.
We'll see. We haven't been disappointed in the last month or so. I'll tell you that much right now.
No. And then I think the last thing I've got before we get into the topic is did a little digging and found a CNN article, oddly enough. I fucking hate CNN, as I'm sure all of you do. But this was from January 6th. Or no. Reading it backwards. This is from June 1st, 2011. And it's talking about the massive Pentagon... child pornography accusations that aren't investigated. And I'll just read it real quick and then we'll move on. The Pentagon porn story began in 2006 when an Immigration and Customs Enforcement child pornography sting operation called Project Flicker produced payment records of about 5,200 people, many of whom provided Army or Fleet zip codes or military email addresses. Subsequently, the Pentagon's investigative branch, DCIS, began going through the ICE list to identify who actually was a DOD employee. The investigation, however, only ran for 8 months and only cross-checked some of the 3,500 names for Pentagon ties. According to the DCIS documents revealed in a Freedom of Information Act request, out of the 3,500 investigators, uncovered 264 employees or contractors, including staffers for Secretary of Defense. 9 people had top security clearances, but only about 20% of those 264 were completely investigated. Fewer still were prosecuted. After about 8 months, the entire probe was halted. It left about 1,700 names totally unchecked, 1,700 alleged kiddie porn customers, an unknown number of whom may still work in some capacity for the Defense Department. Late last summer, after investigations by the Boston Globe and Yahoo News revealed the figures, Pentagon spokesman promised to reopen the investigation, conceding that the DCIS had stopped due to lack of resources. Right. DCIS says it is now revisiting all 5,200 names, and they have now identified 302 employees or staffers. Yet, of the 302 people confirmed as DOD personnel or contractors, only 70 of them were actually investigated. And then they have a link to a CNN video clip. I'm not interested in that. But I did find this neat. There it says, if you're ready to see how investigations into massive child sex abuse ring have led to the highest levels of the government, watch this depressed Discovery Channel documentary, Conspiracy of Silence. So that'll give you guys something to chew on.
Yeah.
If you're feeling...
if you want to...
feeling chewy.
Feel disgusted.
Yeah.
By the current state of things going on.
Yeah.
And have been going on for quite some time.
I just hope Q's legit.
I hope so, too. I mean, yeah. We're going to have to be eating a lot of fucking humble pie if he's not.
Yeah. I like pie.
I'm not a big fan of humble pie.
We're just doing the best we can. Everything he's said so far has been vetted as... thoroughly correct.
It's like, here's the way I look at it. It's the way, like, Sage Wanderer likes to talk about it. Like, he's like...
Sage Wanderer on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's basically like, listen, you feel it just like I feel it. There's something wrong.
Yes.
And now, here's the thing. Worse. The only thing you can do in this case, this is your sixth sense kicking in, your fucking psychic feelers. you know, brushing out and knowing there's some sort of fucking, there's a disturbance in the force, right?
Right.
And the only thing you can do is try to figure out what it is. If we're wrong, we're wrong.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's still something fucking inherently wrong.
There's definitely a lot of meat on these QAnon bones that we keep chewing on.
Yeah.
And fear not, unlike some of our faithful followers, we don't have any type of bias. So the second that he becomes unreliable, we will fucking cast him out and do what needs to be done to him.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm riding the Q train.
Yeah, until he gives me a reason not to believe him.
Right. The only thing, and I think, I don't know if we've said it before or not, but I want to make it clear, as people look into QAnon, the only thing that I've seen from him that I don't like is how he says, trust the plan. I don't like trusting things I don't know about ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ever go back to sleep, and I'm not ever going to a place of complacency and looking for a savior.
Yeah.
That at least he seems to be on the point past that where he's trying to awaken everyone
and just
to their own investigations.
Just FYI, those out there, and we have received a little bit of backlash because we did post something on Instagram about John McCain rotting in hell.
Yeah.
This is all I'm going to say about the matter. And we were told not to judge and blah, 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 blah. Yep. First of all, I'm going to judge. Okay? Well, you're supposed to respect him because he was a veteran.
Nah, fuck that.
Let me knock you down right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull one from the SJW file.
Right.
Hitler was a veteran. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
How many likes and shares can this World War II veteran get?
Yeah.
We've all seen the meme.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Just because you've proven yourself an order follower does not make you worthy of my fucking blanket praise.
Mm-hmm.
Eat a dick.
Yeah.
And
so
I pretty much called it straight on. You know, he wants to hit me with Bible verses, and I hit him with one back. You shall know a tree by its fruits.
Yeah.
Look into his life.
Timothy McVeigh was a veteran, too.
Yeah.
Do you think when they fucking blew his ass away, they raised flags at half staff and all that shit?
I hope they did.
You know, Lee Harvey Oswald was a fucking veteran, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking hear it, okay?
Right.
I don't like the guy.
No.
I never did.
You shouldn't. Even his, like, military career was shit because, like, he wrecked, was it, crashed a plane killing 164 Navy personnel?
That's the story I heard, yeah.
His dad covered it up because his dad was an admiral? Like,
yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck him, he's a shill.
Yeah, piece of shit. He rode the fucking train. He's a traitor. He's a globalist. He's tried to, I forget who said it, I want to say it was Michael Savage, and this was back during the presidential election where McCain was a player. And he was like, you know, you can tout being a veteran all you want as a flag to cover yourself in for protection, but you may have spent however many years involved in military service, but you spent the last 30 years trying to fuck this country.
Yeah.
Selling it overseas and what have you.
Like, so you're a veteran, but you spent X amount of years serving in federal politics, and yet our VAs and our fucking veterans still suffer.
Yeah.
So, not only a shill,
good job,
but you're a turncoat and a hypocrite.
Right.
Fuck yourself.
Who would win? John McCain? You know, military veteran,
yeah,
a globalist shill, or one tumorous boy, one cancerous boy,
one malignant boy.
Yeah, that's it.
But
the memes, though.
But, and it's, that's the thing. Like, you can. I'm not gonna fucking honor this douche.
Nah, fuck.
Sorry,
man. Sorry, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, there's people well, way more worth. Ugh, I can't even talk. Worth well more my respect than that asshole ever did.
It's nice because we can all shit on the leftists, you know, as they would call them, snowflakes, for having meltdowns over not using the proper pronoun or whatever. But once you start touching one of their favorite puppets, the right gets upset.
Yeah.
And I just like to sit here, you know, Bones and Tubbs, if you could put us in your mind's eye, we're basically like those two old puppets that talk shit to the other Muppets in, Jim Henson's The Muppets, I guess?
Yeah, it's The Muppet Show.
The Muppet Show. We're like the two old guys in the balcony talking shit.
Yeah, and I think he even said something along the lines of, like, you guys are better than that. Talking shit about people. That's all we do is talk about shit about people.
Well,
we've been spouting on the show how, like, basically our world leaders are a bunch of fucking child molesters.
Yeah, I like to picture myself in this great work as, like, somebody who will take what platform, which is growing as we speak, and I'm going to use this platform to shine a light on shitheads.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do until we make the world a better place.
Like, if you hear us talking positive about somebody,
they deserved it.
They deserved it.
Yeah.
In our opinion.
Right.
You know, and that's few and far between. I mean, in the grand scheme of this show, I'd say the short list of people that we've given praise to.
I can only think of Mark Passio.
Yeah, we did a couple shows about people that we thought were, like, cool, like fucking Tesla and Wilhelm Reich. And
yeah, I get it.
Shit like that, you know.
Yeah,
we give credit, and you know, I've talked about you know, Granddaddy Ron Paul before.
God, I love him. We just talked about him before the show. That you know, in a different lens, if you want to look at how we would look at things, if we were to take the seat of someone who like had like let's say someone like let's replace John McCain with Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid he comes down with some.
Please, no.
Shit. That's not what I'm saying. But let's say, you know, somebody was talking shit about Ron after he passed away. I'm not going to be like, man, fuck that dude for talking shit about Grandpa Ron. I'm going to look up what he's talking about. And if I find it to be true, I too will then talk shit about my favorite puppet.
Yeah.
You got to critically think. But anyway, let's get on.
Anyways.
Timothy Leary.
So today we're going to talk about... counterculture, revolutionary, blah, 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 Harvard professor, clinical psychologist, Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary, everybody. And if you ever heard the name before, he's famous for the phrase, tune in, turn on, drop out. And if I said that wrong, I think I did. I'll say it right, because I have the internet. The internet is the greatest tool, not the greatest tool, but it is a good tool.
Yes. I don't know if you like this framework or not, and I'm not sure, like I said, if we're going to agree or disagree on the final opinion, but would you like to do the full history of said individual? We'll get into some of his talkings, and then we will see where it takes us.
Yeah. If it's turn on, tune in, drop out.
Yes.
I said it in the wrong order.
It's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Timothy Leary, you know, he went to... West Point, and was kicked out of West Point for drinking and getting drunk and then lying about it.
Mm, nice.
Which, that's whatever. We've all been there before.
Oh, yeah.
then went on to go to... Okay. But anyways, he went to West Point. He got kicked out. And instead of resigning, he refused. And then they did this thing they do at West Point called silencing him, where everybody would not talk to him.
Yeah.
They gave him this. They literally, it was a collective silent treatment.
Yeah.
Until he left. So then he transferred to the University of Alabama. And, you know, I mean, he's a smart guy. He got good grades. He did all that good, you know, studying shit. And then later on, he. God damn it. I fucked this up. I apologize.
I like how his life... They're not going to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Timothy Leary's life seems to mirror the Gandhi saying, like, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win.
Yeah.
Now, the winning part is yet to be seen. They pretty much shut down that shit in the 60s, you know? Yeah.
So, basically, to break it down, you know, he got his degree in clinical psychology, and he went on to start teaching at schools like Berkeley and whatnot. And... that's where he started experimenting with psilocybin mushrooms.
Yeah, everybody's favorite fungus boy.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, the U.S. government had already at this point begun using psychedelic drugs as means of like mind control and truth serums and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he started using psilocybin, and then he went to Harvard and... had this program where, like, he would have, like, students and he would fucking bring them in and, you know, give them the drug and then detail, like, what was going on and, like, how they were feeling and stuff like that. Or he took a bunch of theology students to a church and, like, gave them fucking psilocybin and they started freaking out and shit. Like,
yeah,
having mythical, you know, mystic revelations and shit like that.
Right.
But he was eventually kicked out of Harvard. Well, he didn't get kicked out of Harvard. He acted like he got kicked out of Harvard. A friend of his got in trouble for giving a student psilocybin. And that colleague was removed. Yeah. But Timothy Leary liked everyone to think that he got removed too, so he left with the guy.
We're both getting removed. This is bullshit.
Yeah, they moved to a private estate owned by a patron and started doing loads and loads and loads of fucking drugs.
LSD specifically, or was that later on?
No, that's around the time when they started fucking around with LSD big time. And now here's the part, like, So just to give you, like, this is the baseline biography of this dude. You know, he was as far as a lot of people are concerned, the legitimate, like, one of the legitimate spokespersons for the counterculture of the 60s.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was a professor, and at least in part, his experiments first began as really scientific experiments, mm-hmm. because he thought that psychedelic drugs could be used for psychotherapy, which is something that we've talked about before on the show.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of making its rounds again,
but
in a positive light.
He kind of, his whole thing kind of got lost in the din of the time, and he kind of just went with the flow. Like, instead of, like, continuing his research into the beneficial, the benefits of you know, medicating people with psychedelic drugs to cope with, like, you know, post-traumatic stress and alcoholism and other addictions, he just kind of went with the flow and basically ended up in a big rigmarole, fucking everybody getting high all the time.
Yeah.
For no particular reason.
Well, that's where you start to lose me, you know? I've always kind of had the belief, like, that my own personal view on psychedelics, the reason why they're a Schedule One is because exactly what happened in the 60s. They don't want a counterculture revolution that they can't control. You know what I mean? Like, they might have thought it was a good idea. There's some interesting word history, too, involved that goes around about that time, because it started out, I can't remember the first word that they used. It wasn't psychedelic, but it was like, the definition of the word meant inducing psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
So then they moved forward to entheogen, which is pretty much what you can see in most of Timothy Leary's interviews, where he talks about, like, spirituality and all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't want to get too far off topic, but it's just...
No. You're fine.
It's just neat to see the difference. I think that they made a mistake. We would all agree the CIA had their hand in all this. Like, he directly thanks the CIA in an interview for supplying all of the LSD.
Yeah, and also... one thing that points to me knowing that he was a CIA plant the whole time was he was arrested at one point in time for he had been arrested a couple times, but he got arrested and said this is 10 years. He had two joints on him.
Yeah.
Just two joints.
But that, I mean, that's kind of what made me think this is where we might disagree, and I don't know more than what I watched last night. But he doesn't strike me, like, maybe in my opinion, he was like an unintentional CIA asset for the way that, like, he fell in love with LSD.
Yeah.
And originally was supplied it by the CIA. But he was adamantly against authority and the power structure.
Okay. Here's the thing, though, that kind of raises a red flag in my mind. He goes to prison.
Yeah.
Now, this could fall into your theory on this. He goes to prison. And they give him a psychological test.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what psychological test they gave him?
No.
One that he had designed.
Okay.
So, but they didn't know that. So he...
Of course they didn't.
Yeah. So he filled out the test in a way that made them think that he was basically a non-threat. He wasn't going to escape. He'd be a model inmate, basically.
What do you know what prison this was?
Concord.
Okay. So this is before Folsom?
Yeah.
All
right. So, or wait, no, was it Concord?
I think so, but I might also be incorrect.
Okay, so yeah, it was Concord, and he escaped from the prison, right? Yeah, and he was through a contact with the underground group called the Weathermen.
Yeah, which were probably tied to the CIA.
And that's why I'm like, okay, so the dude escaped from prison.
Do you think that he was like, he knew he was a CIA asset, though? Or do you think it was we need him out there because he's doing what we want him to
now,
do with, organically, kind
and
of?
Here's the thing that makes me think, goes on to think that he is, in fact, a CIA plant. So he escapes with the Weathermen, which, mind you, the Weathermen were an underground group who were responsible for a bunch of bombings in the United States, which that should fucking send up flares right there, simply for the fact that, like, we're talking about a underground countercultural group that was about... anti-authority, I do that in quotation marks, anti-authority.
Controlled revolution.
Who blew up a bunch of buildings, and nobody ever got caught.
Right.
We just knew that it was those dirty hippies.
Yeah, fucking hippies.
Okay. Who, you know, like I said, who helped him escape. And the reason I think he's a plant, and our reason is, one, because the Weathermen helped him. And I think they're a CIA, underground CIA organization, simply because none of them got caught. And I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Because we all know that CIA has never fucking bombed civilians before in the United States.
Right, of course. Or, you know, just done anything that they wanted to do at any time for the purpose of control and profit.
Yeah. So he escapes, and then he goes to Nigeria.
With the Black Panthers.
With the Black Panthers. Now.
Oh, the CIA has its fingers everywhere.
That being said, he doesn't stay with the Black Panthers too long.
No, he got into direct conflict with the government that was, they were Muslims, right?
It was, okay, so the Black Panthers in Nigeria consider themselves a government in exile.
Yeah.
Their notion was eventually coming back, sparking a revolution and taking over the United States.
Yeah. Man.
It's a little bit far-fetched. But
I don't know.
On an article I read about the whole thing, they put it up to the fact that, okay, so the CIA, they, for whatever reason, decided they needed to put a pin in him for a minute.
Yeah.
So they put him in a prison where they know he was always going to be there. He wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then they needed somebody to infiltrate the Black Panther exile government. And they're like, Timothy Leary is the perfect one, because they're like, he's the counterculture dude. They're going to fucking take him in with open arms.
Yeah.
And we need to see what's going on, what they have planned over there. So they fucking help him escape. They send him to Nigeria. He gathers intel. And then, as far as we know, the Black Panthers and Timothy Leary just had a disagreement.
Yeah.
And they kicked him out.
Well, there were some interviews or something that he did with a local government in Nigeria, and they were completely, like, strict Muslim, which he didn't like the authority behind that reason. Like, he compares it a lot in some of his interviews later on with the United States government, you know, being the blanket Christians, basically. Yeah. It's like, you sound just like the Rwani, or, you know, the Muslims. Like, what are you going to, you're going to ban psychedelic drugs, you're going to lock people up, maybe you should just cut their heads off for drinking beer.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. I don't know.
See, and I could see where you're coming from. So the great question is what was Timothy Leary?
I think
innocuous CIA attribute.
Yeah.
Or like he really didn't know what kind of role he was playing in the whole thing.
I think he was an unintentional asset.
Unintentional asset. There you go. That was what I was gearing towards.
Yeah.
Or direct CIA spy, Project Mockingbird style.
Yeah, I just don't. I watched some of his interviews, and I just don't. And I'm not saying I'm the great, you know, truth detector, but I feel like he was legitimately anti-authority.
I mean, I'll give it to you. One of his big phrases he always pumped out there was question authority.
Yeah.
Constantly.
One of the things that you look at when you start looking into the history and the timeline of psychedelic use is that basically everyone comes to some sort of like an anarchist awakening.
Yeah.
The way that they see into the fourth dimension or whatever it might be through some of these things. And I just don't think you can co-opt that. I think maybe he was playing some 4D chess if he was given CIA help. Maybe he saw it as a means to an end, and then he was going to go continue his work, which is what they wanted him to do the entire time anyway.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. You've gone down a cool road here, because this could fall into the category of he started out like CIA gave him all the LSD he ever wanted.
Yeah.
Right? But he eventually realized what was going on. But by that point, like, and here's the thing, his message, if you look at his stuff and everything, it's extremely esoteric.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of puts new labels on old things, you know, when it comes to like different aspects of like esoteric study and stuff like that. He just gives it a new name, more or less. But then, see, the thing about the cool counterculture thing is that eventually it fucking went completely off the rails.
Yeah.
There was a time when it had traction in the United States. And what comes to mind in this whole theory, when it started going off the rails, I would have to point to like another counterculture leader, Ken Kesey.
Yeah.
Because his people and the Merry Pranksters and all that were all about just like getting fucked up all the time and like, you know, fucking each other and all sorts of crazy shit. Like, there was no reason to be doing the drugs other than just get high. You know what I mean? You weren't doing it for a purpose. And if you look at like Timothy Leary stuff, you know, when people came to his, like, Millbrook estate, where he did a lot of his work, people who would come to want to do LSD, he didn't give them LSD on the first day.
Yeah.
The first couple of days. He would, like, you know, talk to them, explain, you know, how it's going to be, explain, this is the things we need to do to keep you from having a bad time, and basically, like, preparing them for this,
instead of just quote, throwing unquote, it on
spiritual
them.
Journey.
We talked about it in the CIA episode, but the CIA themselves were guilty of doing the dark way. Like, they were just putting LSD in water supplies and shit.
Yeah.
Like, nobody had any idea what was going on. he was at least trying to guide them.
Yeah. So I could see your point on that. It just seems, a lot of those things with him seem fishy.
Yeah, there's definitely some influence there, but I don't know. I think for me to call someone a CIA asset like Anderson Cooper, you know, he's deliberately a piece of shit, Project Mockingbird, CIA asset, whereas I feel like Timothy Leary, he only came about whatever it was that he was on through the use of psychedelic drugs, which in my mind, you know, I'm not mad at him for using the CIA's black budget to further his own aims.
Yeah.
Because he came at it from a pure aspect, in my opinion. Did you have any more for him?
No, basically, you know, he did his prison terms. He went to the Black Panthers, came back, kind of lived out the rest of his life as a kind of like a traveling philosopher.
Yeah.
And he did the famous debates with G. Gordon Liddy, member of Nixon's staff, who was sent to prison.
Yes. He's got a lot of really good interviews on YouTube. Everybody should look him up if they're more interested. But I loved watching his interviews. Like, he sat down with some type of pagan, some type of, like, and three different types of Christian.
Yeah.
And then they all just had an interaction.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I just like watching his counterculture views because I feel the same way. And I think we might have joked about it a few times. Like, the thing that we need in society is a massive DMT trip simultaneously.
Yeah.
I've got this here, if you wouldn't mind. I'll read through it.
Yeah, go ahead.
The History of Psychedelics and Psychotherapy from Timeline.com. So I guess since we just wrapped up with Timothy Leary, I'll read this article. It's called The History of Psychedelics and Psychotherapy. Decades after LSD and ecstasy were banned, therapists are tuning in again. And it starts all the way back in November, on the 16th day, in the year of 1938, year of our Lord. Albert Hofmann, a Swiss chemist working at Sandoz Pharmaceuticals, was attempting to create a stimulant when he synthesized lysergic acid dithalamide, LSD, instead. The substance excited test animals, but it wasn't the circulatory system stimulant Sandoz had hoped for. Hofmann set LSD aside for 5 years. Later, when he returned to look at it, he accidentally absorbed a small dose through his fingertips and experienced a radical shift in consciousness.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that story before. Like, he, like, so he, like, accidentally absorbed it.
Oh, shit to the bed.
And then, like, it's a fairly famous excerpt from his journals. He left the university he was working at, and on his way home, he was riding his bicycle through town.
Yeah.
And shit.
I could only shit fucking just went imagine.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. I've never done LSD, and I don't believe you have either.
No.
But I just couldn't sign up for something like that. See, what is it, like 16 hours of just wow, 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 you know? Yeah. He's just fucking riding a bike through town, tripping his fucking balls off. Let's see. After experimenting further, tripping his nuts off, Hofmann concluded the drug would be ideal for psychotherapeutic use. And Sandoz began sending doses of LSD and another psychedelic, psilocybin, to clinics and universities across the world. A promising decade of research began, leading to breakthroughs in understanding of the brain's neurochemistry and how therapists might effectively treat mental illness. And, 1960, Sandoz sent psychedelics to a charismatic Harvard psychologist named
Timothy Leary.
The rest is history. Within a decade, LSD was illegal in most parts of the world, and psychedelic research, despite its early promising results, was shut down altogether. Interesting picture.
Do you think, just a sidebar, do you think that the prohibition of said psychedelic drugs is what basically caused it to just become a reason to get high, instead of actually using it as a means for psychological therapy or religious experience or anything like that?
I think it, like, if you listen to some of Joe Rogan's, if you go through his timeline of podcasts where he talks to various, like, mycologists and scientists and stuff, they kind of believe, and I don't know how LSD falls into this because it's synthesized, but, like, psilocybin at least, or DMT, ayahuasca, the natural psychedelics, they aren't meant to be abused.
No.
Like, they're ones that are actually anti-abusive. Like, you can't use them too much or they just stop working, but I don't know.
Then about anybody that's willing to just pump themselves full of fucking hallucinogens on the reg might be clinically insane.
Right. And we're not here to advocate the use of psychedelic drugs by just anybody.
Yeah.
You know. But now 50 years later, after LSD was first banned, psychedelics are making a comeback. Across the country, people are turning on Their neurons are firing in the opening salvos of psychedelic renaissance. Silicon Valley engineers are taking microdoses of LSD at work as an alternative to Adderall. Religious organizations having their use of psychedelics validated in a court of law. Most importantly, the FDA and DEA are approving psychedelic studies for the first time in decades, enabling researchers to examine the efficacy of psychedelics in treating a host of mental illnesses from anxiety and depression to post-traumatic stress and addiction. The findings are, as one researcher put it, mind-blowing. Which I have read a lot of neat studies from MAPS. It's like the, not the, the pedophile MAPS, but the, it's like multiple application of psychedelic studies.
Yeah.
And, like, they had some of these guys that had, like, the worst kind of PTSD. They came back from Iraq or Chicago, wherever they were stationed. And, they were so fucked up that they were, like, putting up curtains to block out the daylight. They wouldn't go outside, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And they signed up for a trial of MDMA or ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be like you come in for 3 interviews, kind of telling you what's going to happen, assessing where you're at and all that. Then they do like a trip. Then they have a 3-session unpacking, and then they trip. 3-session unpacking, and then they trip. Well, these guys would go through the first 3 days. They would talk. They'd be fucked up. They do the first dose of MDMA, and their fucking PTSD is gone.
Hmm.
And the theory behind it is that you, it's like kind of a dissociative.
Yeah.
Where you're able to step outside, you're fully comfortable, and you're able to talk about your stress. Getting the talking gets it out of you. And yeah. It's gone. No problem.
Yeah.
Psilocybin in the same way is kind of interesting. I've been interested in the hero's dose, you know, where you trip your balls off, but at the same time, I've been more interested in the effects and studies done with microdosing. But you don't get any psychedelic effects, but you get like increased flow state, creativity, and all that.
I remember one thing about Leary said back, right, first time he ever took psilocybin, right?
Yeah.
He was in Mexico, sitting poolside.
Mm.
And he said that in the 3 hours that he was in the throes.
Yeah. Going through like, it.
He learned more about the human mind in that 3 hours than he ever learned in the years and years of clinical psychology.
Sheesh. Yeah. I wonder if the reason why they're still Schedule 1, meaning no medical application, no study, is because the only thing that's guaranteed from multiple psychedelic uses is that it tells you, fuck establishments.
Yeah, I think it might bring you back. It's kind of you have to gauge your timeline based on when you did it.
Yeah.
So like, because here's the thing: one timeline ends and another begins. This is the new you. So you almost could do a postmortem on your old you,
right?
And see what went wrong.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at it, at least in those terms. It's just like you said, it's a means to unpack the burdens that you've carried for a long time.
Yeah. The article then goes on to say, tripping through time. The years immediately following Hoffman's accidental discovery are often referred to as the golden age of psychedelic research. More than 40,000 patients were administered LSD alongside therapy between 1950 and 1965, and more than 1,000 scientific papers were published. Hoffman, which, just a sidebar, I like Hoffman more than I like Leary.
Yeah.
Because it seems like Hoffman... Because it says here, Hoffman went on to dedicate his life to LSD research. He took small doses of LSD every day over the last 20 years of his life, dying in 2008 at the age of 102.
Holy shit.
So I like how he microdosed, because microdosing, if you look it up, you get all these benefits.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about like frying yourself out on the just everyday hero journey or attempted hero journey, which I think Leary was just...
He might have just done one too many of those.
Yeah. They said over 600 doses of... Enough, not like microdoses, but
yeah.
Though many of the early psychiatric studies of LSD wouldn't meet modern standards of methodology, they nonetheless produced promising results. In study after study treating depression, addiction, emotional and physical trauma, and terminal illness, researchers found that LSD proved effective in cases where other drugs and therapy were not enough. Humans have consumed mind-altering substances throughout history. Many produce an altered state of consciousness that is often termed a psychedelic experience. It can include heightened senses of emotions, awe or terror, the feeling of experiencing birth, death, or repressed memories, or a sense of profound insight into the nature of existence. Many researchers feel that therapeutic benefits of psychedelics are undeniable, but the unpredictable nature of the psychedelic experience and the stigma of recreational drug use have made incorporating them into Western medicine problematic. In 1960, Dr. Timothy Leary started the Harvard Psilocybin Project to study the effects of psilocybin, a psychedelic found in magic mushrooms. He was fired in 1962 after it was discovered he'd been giving psychedelics to students, so that's fake.
Yeah.
We've established that. He was just being a fucking...
He's getting his rep up.
Trying to get his rep up by being offended. Leary began urging young Americans to use LSD. At a great time of great social unrest, acid escaped from the lab and found its way into unpredictable environments like college campuses, rock concerts. Horror stories emerged of psychosis and murder brought on by bad trips. Young people told their parents they no longer believed in central institutions undergirding American society and certainly did not want to fight in Vietnam.
So basically, when you take psychedelic drugs, you know, you go about your life, and one day, like, you go, you would go do your job still.
Yeah.
Stop you from doing your job.
Right.
And then you collect your paycheck, and then you look at your paycheck, and the thing they were afraid of the most of is you'd look at it, and you'd be like, what is this federal withhold?
Yeah, right.
What is that? What is that for exactly? And then you find out, like, oh, shit, it's paying fucking... DuPont to make fucking napalm, like,
yeah, to burn Vietnamese children.
Yeah, and then you're like, wait, I don't agree with that.
This is wrong.
So either one of two things needs to happen. We need to stop burning Vietnamese children alive.
Yeah.
Or I want my money back.
The government's like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, we gotta get rid of their shit.
That's just dangerous for the babies. LSD was made illegal in the U.S. in 1966, and the FDA shut down all research. Sandoz stopped distributing it, and the psychedelic therapy was forced underground. Some psychedelic therapists still provide LSD to their patients, maintaining illegal practices. Other, like Stanislav Grof, sought alternative methods that could bring about psychedelic experience, like holotropic breathwork. Now, that interests me because it's free, and yeah, you can find out how to do it on YouTube.
There you go.
I just haven't yet.
Yeah.
And then they move on in the article to MDMA's therapeutic potential. MDMA was first synthesized by Germany's Merck at the start of the 20th century, but it would be decades before a human tried a dose. In 1976, Dow Pharmaceuticals chemist Alexander Shulgin discovered MDMA's effects after synthesizing a batch and testing 120 milligrams on himself. Jeez. And he was quoted as saying, "I feel absolutely clean inside, and there's nothing but pure euphoria. I have never felt so great or believed this to be possible.
I'm really fucking thirsty, though.
I'm so thirsty. Does anyone have a pacifier?" Shulgin shared it with San Francisco therapist Leo Zeff, who was conducting psychedelic therapy despite the ban. Zeff served as the Johnny Appleseed of MDMA, sending doses to an estimated 4,000 therapists who gave it to as many as 200,000 patients in the late 70s and early 80s. Like LSD before it, MDMA would not stay a secret for long. Its euphoric and stimulating effects made it an ideal party drug. That's...
Of course it did.
Somebody always fucks it up.
Yeah, as I say, y'all fucking... motherfucking, you goddamn young people,
y'all wanting Americans
to get high and shit all the time, you fuck it up.
Trying to escape your fucking life.
God damn it.
Yeah. The burgeoning rave music scene embraced it, and soon stories emerged of overheated partiers winding up in the hospital. Then came the first scientific studies reporting MDMA's neurotoxic effects. The FDA and DEA were not fans of an increasingly popular drug that supposedly rotted the brains of America's youth, despite the protest of therapists who provided substantial documentation of MDMA's therapeutic benefits. It was banned. No! Classified as a Schedule I drug, it was considered to have no accepted medical uses and a high potential for abuse. It just kind of goes on to talk about some of the more modern research. A study in 2006 at Johns Hopkins found magic mushrooms can induce a mystical type experience, which we already talked about. And it's on its way. MAPS kind of asserts that, like, probably by 2020 or 2022, you'll be able to go to a doctor and be like, "I've got PTSD, I'm depressed, I have anxiety." And instead of getting handed a pharmaceutical, they will sign you up for a hero's dose of psilocybin
with a clinic, like, with
done in the clinic,
yeah, or done like in a therapeutic way, like you would go see a therapist,
yeah, kind of unpack it,
yeah,
kind of guide like you through that. It
probably how it should be done with someone probably who, you know,
yeah, not like, done like, you know, where you could jump out of a building or,
you know, or have ready access to other intoxicating substances that have zero therapeutic use.
Yeah, that only exacerbate the negative effects of said psychedelic.
Like alcohol.
Alcohol, the drug that we can all buy at any store.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah.
We hope that you you know, look into Timothy Leary some more if you're interested.
History of psychedelics.
Make up your mind for yourself. Maps. Was he a CIA asset, or was he just some dude trying to, you know, help people?
Let us know what you think down in the comments. Hit the like button and make sure you share. Subscribe to Bones and Subs podcast and make sure you hit the bell so you can hear all of it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Tell your friends.
Yeah, if you want, go on down to Patreon. Check it out.
Ooh.
Join the nation.
The monies.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, you know. We have a website.
Gab.ai.
Yeah.
The other one I don't remember the name of. We're getting out there.
Our
numbers are doing very well.
Good.
We're glad to have so many of y'all new listeners.
Yeah.
Keep on telling your friends.
Yeah. And hope you guys have a good week. And we'll see you next week.
Let's awaken from this nightmare together. We love you.
We really do.